asking them to represent him in the Russia probe. They are citing conflict of interests as reasons why they can't join the president's team. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. Isn't it time to make a change? If drugs and alcohol is a problem in your life or someone you care about, it's time to make a change. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering amazing life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Program has successfully helped over 50,000 people get their life back. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple call to 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. That's 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. We are open 24/7 and all calls are confidential and free. Call now, 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com.
A former dean at Michigan State University is facing charges stemming from the Larry Nassar investigation. Nassar was convicted of sexually assaulting scores of women athletes. William Strample used to be Nassar's boss. WLNS-TV's Norm Stanglin.
Strample has been charged with allegedly inappropriately touching a student and also storing nude photos of female students on his work computer. He's facing four charges. Will be in court this afternoon for his arraignment.
Well, Russian President Vladimir Putin claimed criminal negligence caused the deaths of 64 people, including 41 children, in a fire at a Siberian mall. Protesters scrutinized the president and other officials for breaches in the building's safety regulations. On Tuesday, thousands of people rallied outside of the mall's remains to call for those responsible to step down. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaroot. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Apple is suggesting a new group of emojis to represent people with disabilities. Here's USA's Chris Barnes with the story.
Apple says it has come up with proposed new icons developed through working with major advocacy groups for the disabled. In the company's recent submission to the body that controls emojis, it says the new ones would help fill a gap and provide a more inclusive experience. Among the new possible emojis, ones with hearing aids and wheelchairs, canes, and some using sign language. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The 17-year-old boy who shot and killed one student and injured another at a Maryland high school last week died after shooting himself in the head. Austin Wyatt Rollins parked his car at the entrance of Great Mills High School in Southern Maryland. 7 minutes later, he shot Jalen Wiley, 16, in the head with his father's 9mm pistol. Investigators say the bullet also struck Desmond Barnes, 14, in the leg. Then Rollins was confronted by school resource officer Blaine Gaskill, and both of their weapons went off simultaneously. Gaskill shot Rollins in the hand. He then turned the gun on himself. Rollins died later that morning. Jalen was declared brain dead, and her family took her off life support. A visitation and prayer service for Jalen is scheduled for Thursday at the Hollywood Volunteer Fire Department in Maryland. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hello, this is Joe Peters, and we're about ready to get started with Real Estate Matters. It is Tuesday, the 27th, and I'm going to start off with giving you the weather forecast. It looks like it's clouding up outside, and let's see what the official Android situation is telling me. It says we're going to be 48 degrees today, 37 tonight, 54 tomorrow, 44 overnight, and then on Thursday, a little bit of rain, but 55 degrees, 50 overnight. Friday, 63, 36 overnight, and then Saturday and Sunday in the 60 and 54 range. So pretty good weather forecast going forward. It looks like we're coming out of the spring. I'm going to play a few commercials and be back to go through my prepared program with you.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So, hey, this is Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters, and Chris Bianco is helping me get the audio. I do have the audio working because you're listening to me getting the video working. I must have hit a wrong button, and I would like you to see what I'm showing you as we get going. So if you give us a sec, we'll get going. Today, as I said, is the 27th of March. It's about 4:10 p.m., and I'm sitting in downtown Flemington, New Jersey. And what we're going to do today is we're going to go through what a buyer talks to a real estate agent about, or how Joe Peters talks to a buyer before we get started out looking at houses. Okay, we're on the air. Thank you. So what I'm holding up for you today is a Things to Consider When Buying a Home guide that is available on my website. If you go to jpeters.com, you'll find it. Let me introduce myself first. I'm a real estate agent with about 20 years of experience. I'm with Coldwell Banker, and I cover both Hunterdon and Somerset counties. But the things we're going to cover today are general buyer considerations when you start to look for a home, what you need to be able to do, and it pertains no matter which company, which county, which realtor you're working with. But I think I do things just a tad differently, and that's why my customers enjoy working with me, and that's what we're going to go through. We're going to talk a little about what's happening in a housing market, and then what you need to know before you buy, and then what to expect when you buy a home. There are probably four reasons to buy a house at this point in time. The very first being prices will continue to rise. And the one thing I forgot to tell you was that my site, jpeters.com, has a place where you can find a guide. So if you would like to go there, or if you have trouble finding it, I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Once again, Joe Peters, jpeters.com. And we're talking about the four reasons to buy a house this spring. Most of them are going to be pretty obvious to you, but they lead into the next section, so I'm going to go through them one at a time, but not in depth. Prices will continue to rise. We got about a 3.5% appreciation in New Jersey in general last year, and we're probably going to see a repeat of that, if not a little better. The pricing rises a little more in the houses that are more moderately priced, the houses under 400, under 500,000, that's where our first and second time buyers are. And then when you get above 500, it drops off pretty quickly. And when you get up into the sevens and eights, you may not see any price rises at all, and might even see some pricing diminished because it's a little soft up there. So prices will continue to rise. Mortgage interest will continue to rise. Since the election, mortgage interest has gone up 1.25%, a point and a quarter. That's taken out 10 to 12% of your buying power. So if you could afford a $500,000 house, just to use round numbers, now you can only afford a $450,000 house. And when you blend into the fact that the prices went up 3 or 4% over the last year, you probably can only afford a 4.25%. So what's happening is the combination of interest going up and prices going up is diminishing the amount of house that you can buy, and it's putting the sense of urgency into the market, which frankly we need. And we're out there trying to get houses listed, trying to get buyers into the houses that are listed and fulfill their requirements. My overall motto says I help you to fulfill your goals and dreams. And in residential real estate, that's not as easy as it may sound, because we're sitting with a diminished amount of inventory and a lot of buyers because of these two things, rising in price. Either way, if you're renting today, or if you're buying, you're going to pay a mortgage. So we say either way, you're paying a mortgage. And the real question you have to ask yourself is, do you want to pay the mortgage in the form of rent so that your landlord can pay the mortgage off? Or do you want to pay the mortgage off yourself and just go out and get a loan? I'm going to tell you that if, in effect, you can pay the rent, if you're qualified to pay the rent, you're also credit worthy to buy a house. You do need a few things. You need some down payment money, and you need some closing money, probably 6% in total at the very minimum, 3% for each, 3% for down payment, 3% for closing. But if you were to go out and rent a condo for $1,250, $1,350 a month, and that condo sells for roughly $140,000, you probably could buy that condo and pay the mortgage off for roughly the same amount of money and be getting some appreciation as the price of the condo grows over time, some tax benefit, and some peace of mind that you're there till you want to move out. When you go out and rent a house, and we have a whole separate section on renting, rent versus buy, you're typically leaving it before you're ready to leave it, because either the landlord wants to rent it to somebody else, maybe one of his children or a neighbor, or maybe want to sell it. So once you're in a house on your own, you're there until you want to get out, and you get to live where you want to live, and you get to do what you want to do with the house. Then the last point, I said there were four, it's time to move on with your life. The cost of a home is determined by two major components, the price of the home and the current mortgage rate. And it appears that both of these are on the rise, as I said. But what if they weren't? Why would you wait? Look at the actual person buying and decide if it is worth waiting, whether you want to have a great place for your children to grow up, or you want your family to be safer, or you want to have control over renovations. Maybe now's the time to buy. The right time for you and your family to purchase a house is this year before things go up even more. So that's the point that that is making. If we take a look year over year on a countrywide basis, we went up 6.44% last year. In the mid-Atlantic states, where New Jersey is located, we went up 5.25%. But in New Jersey, we were more like a 3.5% to 4%. And I always like to say it depends where you're at and it depends on your price point. The closer to New York you can be in Hunterdon County or Somerset County, the more you're going to get in price appreciation. Secondly, the less the price of the house, the more you're going to get into price appreciation. So it's a combination of two things. What is the price point on the house and where is it located? A house that's under 500K in one of our popular areas in Hunterdon, that would be Reddington, Raritan, Clinton, Clinton Township, Flemington area, those houses sell immediately, almost the day they come on the market if they're clean inventory. You get out further to the west and you get into Alexandria and Holland, it takes a little longer. There's still a market. People like that bucolic lifestyle out there. Secondly, if you get above 500,000, even in the areas that I said were popular, you're going to find that those prices are not as rising as you will if you're under 500,000. First time buyer is going to buy a 150 to 350. Second time buyer is going to buy a 3 to 5. That's our popular price points. And the first time buyer buys from the second time buyer, and he turns around and buys another house. And that turn kicks off another sale, but that's as far as we're going to go today with it. Buying remains cheaper than renting in 39 states, and New Jersey is one of them. And what we're seeing is that nationally rates would have to reach 9.1% or 122% over today's average of 4.5% for renting to be cheaper than buying. So the bottom line is buying a home makes sense financially. And if you are one of the many renters and would like to evaluate your ability to buy this year, let's get together. I mean, I would be more than happy to go through these numbers with you as they pertain to you and give you a look at it from your vantage point. Is your first home within your grasp? What we say is the median average first-time buyers is 32. It's grown over the years. It used to be 27, 28, but we're up to about 32 years old. For married couples, it's about the same age. For single females, it's 35. For unmarried couples, it's around 30. For single males, it's 31. So anywhere between 30 and 35, that's where our first-time buyers are coming from. And the percentage of our buyers are 57% married couples, 18% singles female, 16% unmarried couples, and 7% single male. So we're leading to a point where we're seeing more single females in a house than we are of single males. Consider the cost, not just the price. And, I mean, if you think about a car, one of the things about the car is your monthly payment. But the second thing about your car is the maintenance factor. And the third thing would be the cost of running it. So maintenance factor would be that's why you buy a new car, because you're probably not going to have much maintenance for your first 36,000 miles. And after that, you may need brakes, or maybe around 50 you need tires and just change the oil every 5,000 miles or whatever your car calls for. Houses, and then the second factor of a car is how many miles per gallon does it get? If you're buying a really high-end four-cylinder, you're probably going to need premium gas. If you're going to buy an average car four-cylinder, high-end like a BMW or a Mercedes or a small Caddy, if you get the four cylinders in those, it's going to need premium gas. Runs 35 to 50 cents a gallon more, depending on the time of the year. If you get into a moderate-sized Chevy or a Volkswagen, you're going to run regular gas. You're going to save not only mileage, because they get very good mileage. I drive a six-cylinder Chevy, a four-cylinder Chevy, and I get like 26 miles around the town, and that's on an SUV, and I'm happy with it. Houses have the same factor. You not only have to look at the cost of the house, but you have to look at the cost. The price is the cost you pay up front, but the cost is what you pay as you're going through it. And it's made up of several factors. It's made up of the principal and interest. That's what you pay the bank. And then typically you're going to pay, have the bank pay your insurance for you, and that's folded into it as well. So it's principal, interest, P&I, and then your insurance factor. Those are three of the four things, and then you have to have insurance. So principal, interest, insurance, I mentioned, and the fourth thing is household fees, homeowner associations, if you have them. Some places like townhouses, it's pretty common. Other places where they keep the front of the development looking pretty and do a little bit of common area work, it may be a few hundred dollars a year instead of a few hundred dollars a month. But the four items are principal and interest, the cost of insurance, and the cost of homeowners. So what we're looking at today, if we had a $250,000 mortgage at 4.3%, our payment would be $1,237. In 2019, if it merely goes up 0.75%, the mortgage payment would rise to 14. If you waited till 2019 and interest went up to 5.1% and the prices went up another 3.5%, you'd be paying 260 for your house instead of 250. You'd be paying 5.1 instead of 4.3. I think we're probably more like 4.4 today. And your payment would be up from $1,237 to $1,415. You'd be paying $178 a month. That's $2,100 a year, and over 30 years, it's $64,000. Now, some of that's tax deductible, but it's still real money going out each month. Mortgage rates rising. Will housing prices follow? I got to tell you, I think we've been artificially, it's not what I think, it's fact. We've been artificially bought down on mortgage prices for the last 9 years. The current administration is saying the economy is doing well. Let's let the rates start floating. And where we had quantitative easing, we're now, and that means the Fed is buying down mortgage-backed securities so that people can get in at lower rates. Now we're sort of easing the easing. In other words, we're letting up on that quantitative easing, and we're selling off some of the mortgage-backed securities. And as a result of that, your prices have risen from roughly 3.5% to roughly 4.5%. That 1% is 9%. So really, if we ran from 3 3/8 to 4.5%, it's 10%. That's the number I was using. We had a mortgage increases, and I can remember them back when Jimmy Carter was in, so I'm dating myself a little bit, of 18%, 19%, 20%. So 4.5, yeah, it's more expensive than it was a year and a quarter ago, but it's nowhere near where we were. And it's still not a bad rate. We're still looking at it going up 2 or 3 more times this year, and we're encouraging people to get out. And we don't need to encourage them too much because they're realizing on their own and get involved. Because in 94, we had a 9.2% rate. In 87, we had an 11.2% rate. And in 2000, we had a 6.9% rate. So really went all the way up to 8.52. We've seen dramatic mortgage increases in the past, and that's what this is showing us. We've seen it in from 63 to 64 to go from 12% to 14%. In 87, it went from 9% to 11%. In 93, it went from 7% to 9%. And in 99, it went from 7% to 9%. It hurts. It represents less buying power. So if you think, go back to what I mentioned, what are your costs? Mortgage and interest, principal and interest. Principal's the same. You're going to pay a little bit of principal off each month, and you're going to pay mostly interest. Probably 3/4 of your payment up front is going to be interest, which is a tax deduction. But the more interest you pay, the less house you can afford. And if you wait, you're going to pay more, and that's why the market is so active today. Be thankful you don't have to pay mom and dad's interest rates, because God, I got to tell you, we paid a lot of money along the way. I remember when those rates were sky high, and we were still selling houses, and people were still doing it because you have to live somewhere, and it was still cheaper than renting back then. But thank goodness you don't have to pay what your mom and dad paid. And just ask them. If you're thinking, hey, mom and dad, what did you pay for mortgage rates along the way? You're going to be astounded. I mean, we were as low as 5% way back in the late 60s. And then it just kept going up and up and up until the early 80s. We were at 21%, and it kept going down and down and down. And we got down to more reasonable rates of 7, 8, 9%. Everybody was dumb and happy. But we kept going down and down and down. And then after the financial crisis, we artificially lowered interest rates. And we saw that, I think the lowest we've ever seen it hit was maybe around 3.25%. And unfortunately, because fortunately the economy is doing better, but unfortunately that means they've let off on the quantitative easing, and as a result, mortgage rates have gone up to meet market demand. 5 reasons for home ownership making sense. One is it's a form of forecasted savings, and that couldn't be better said. In other words, you're not paying any more than renting. You're getting 3/4 of your money put against your interest at the beginning and a quarter against your principal. And the principal keeps going down and down and down. And sometimes we're around your 10th anniversary, you're at about 50-50. So you're forcing yourself to save money. The homeowner provides a tax savings. So not only are you putting money into your equity every month, you're getting a tremendous tax advantage at the end of the year. And you can talk to your accountant and go start to take it on a monthly basis so you can afford a little more even up front. And it allows you to lock in your monthly housing costs, because those on a 30-year fix, your 30-year payment is going to be the same thing, payment one, as it is going to pay 360, payment 360. It doesn't bounce around, where rents are going up anywhere around 10% a year anymore. And buying a home is always as cheap as, if not cheaper, than renting, because it's hard to figure out how much people are going to save on tax. But if you just look at the dollar amount per month on owning a home versus renting a home, you're going to find you're not spending any more money, and you get all of those advantages for savings, tax advantage, and the comfort of living where you want to live for as long as you want to live. No other investment lets you live inside it. That's interesting, because you can put money in gold, can't live inside it. You can put money in stocks, can't live inside that. But a house is something you need, and you can live inside a house. And then the American dream is owning a house, watching it go up, and the entire house that you buy. Let's say you buy a $300,000 house to get started with, and you put 10% down. It's not the 10% that goes up. It's the whole 100%. So you might be putting 10% down, but you're getting appreciation. Let's say it was 5% for a given year on the whole $300,000, which is like $15,000 more value at the end of the year. So at the end of the 4 or 5 years, you may have gained $75,000 to $100,000 on the house you've bought, and it's time to trade up. Or maybe it's 7 or 8 years, you've got even more, and it's time to trade up. It depends on your lifestyle and where you're at. But the bottom line is, before you sign another lease, let's get together and let's talk about the advantages. Starting to look for a home, know what you want versus what you need. Yeah, everybody'd like to have a swimming pool. Not most people, anyway. Everybody'd like to have a big back porch. Everybody'd like to have 4 acres. But what do they really need? Do they need the swimming pool? No, because all of those things are going to add. Swimming pool, not necessarily, but it takes away from the backyard, because you're going to use half the backyard for the swimming pool. So you got to make, and I can help you with this, a list of must-haves, a list of should-haves, and a wish list. So, and then you get as many of them as you possibly can. But when you find the house you decided on, you make sure all the must-haves are there and some of your should-haves are in there. And then if you could pick up some of those wish list items, that's great. But the bottom line is having a list fleshed out before you start. It's just like going to a grocery store. Don't go to a grocery store when you're hungry. You're going to come back with a whole bunch of stuff that you don't need and spend a lot more money. Go to a grocery store after you've eaten, and you're going to buy it. So buying a house is the same way. Don't go buying a house before you've sat down and said, look, we're going to need probably a minimum of three to four bedrooms, at least two, maybe three baths. We need a two-car garage. We need a basement. We'd like to have an acre of land because we'd like to have a dog running around in the backyard for the kids, that kind of thing. Let's get the list concocted and then go look for the house. Now, the second thing you need to do is go past the list, the myths of lending, because everybody thinks, oh my God, I got to have a 750 credit score, I'll never be able to get a mortgage. The myth is just that. I need a 750, 780 credit score in order to buy. We do somewhere around 30% of our business under 700. We do another 25% of it between 7 and 750. So if you really need three things to buy a house, you need a job, and it can't be a menial job. It needs to be a job that earns enough money, and I'm going to go through how much you can buy versus how much you earn. So you need a job with some tenure. You need to have been in that job for a while or changed within your industry and moved up. you need some credit, which means you pay your bills on time, and you need to get that FICO score to the point where hopefully it's 700, but even at 650, we can still get you into a house. And then need a little bit of money because it's probably going to take you 3% of the cost of the house for a down payment. There's some ways to get around it by financing it, but let's just say the straightforward 3% for down payment, 3% to close. You need 6% up front. So if you're going to buy a $300,000 house, you're going to need $9,000 down payment and another, I'd say, $7,500 to close. And there's a lot of things that go into the closing costs, but I'm not going to cover that right now. 61% of our first-time buyers put less than 6% down. Less than 6%. That's a great number. So what you can do is get into a house as a first-time buyer, but you don't need to put the 20% down. But there's a caveat here. And the caveat is that if you don't put 20% down, you're probably going to have to pay private mortgage insurance. So if you put 20% down, there is no PMI. Some banks, depending on your credit and assets, you can get away with it 15% down. But if you put less than 15, let's say you put 3%, like I said, you're probably going to pay a point and a quarter on PMI until you build up the equity in a house, and then you'd have to refinance it to show that you've got 20% equity, and that goes away. Still cheaper than renting. It's just a different way, and the PMI is a tax deduction in most cases, but you've got to talk to your accountant about that. If you're one of the many first-time buyers who is not sure if you would like to qualify for a low-down payment mortgage, let's get together. I actually have some USDA mortgages that, in effect, are zero down. It depends where the house is located. It depends how much you earn. But we could get you into a no-down payment, but there's still going to be some closing costs. And then there are some mortgages that will allow you to finance your closing costs. So if you got really good credit but not a lot of money, we could probably get you into a house with nothing down, depending on where the house is. But I think the average is 3% down payment, 3% to close, and you're going to be in decent shape. So once again, what were the three things? A, you need a job. Can't be a menial job. It's got to be a job of substance. B, you've got to have been a part two. You've got to have been in that job for a while, not 6 weeks. B, you've got to develop a decent credit history, and that takes a couple of years to do. And a lot of people got injured through the financial crisis and have had taken some time to rebuild their credit history. And then C, you got to have a little bit of money. And if you don't have that money, mom and dad may be really tickled to get you out of the rec room and might be able to help you because it can be gifted money. And the one last option is you can probably finance the down payment and the closing costs, but it's an expensive way to borrow money. So let's look at what happens over time. Low interest rates increase your purchasing power. So the converse is also true, and that is the higher the interest, the less purchasing you can buy. So if you are paying on a $400,000 house, and we're just talking about the principal now, principal and interest, 5.25%, you're going to pay $2,200. If you are paying 4.5%, it would be $2,000. It would be almost $180 less. So I can sit and go through that with you. I try to introduce you to a mortgage person either before we go out to look for houses or after we go out once so you can see what your money will buy and just verify that your credit's in decent shape. And sometimes you're surprised you can buy more than you think. We can get it down to a science based on your three things, your job and history, your credit and its history, and then your financial situation as far as savings. Pre-approval should be your first step. It's something that most realtors are not going to take you out until you go get pre-approved. I can sit with you and talk, and I can show you a few houses, but by the time we go out the second time, I will have had you pre-approved as well. And it's just something you cannot circumvent. When we make an offer on a house, we have to have a letter that accompanies that offer that says you are qualified to make that offer. And that's what the pre-approval process does for you. And it looks at your capacity, your current and future ability to make your payments. your capital, how much you got, your collateral, do you have equity elsewhere, your credit. Bottom line, many potential home buyers overestimate the down payment and credit scores needed to qualify for a mortgage. Once again, we should talk, and I can help you sort that out. Have you talk to a mortgage professional can also help you. Have you put away enough money for closing costs? Closing costs are typically between 2 and 5% of your purchase price. I'm going to say 3% is an industry average. It depends on your price. If you buy a $200,000 house and you buy a $300,000 house, the closing costs are almost the same. But if you buy a $500,000 house, the closing costs are going to be just a little bit more, and are going to be more like 2%. So you're probably going to be 3 or 4% at the low end and 2 or 3% at the higher end. And we recently heard many first-time buyers that they wish that someone had let them know what the closing costs would be so high. Well, think about it. What's in a closing cost? You've got to pay your first year insurance. That's probably about $900 to $1,000, homeowner's insurance. You've got to pay your first quarter's taxes. You probably have to pay your first quarter's homeowners if you're in a community development. You've got to pay a title insurance, probably about $2,000 in itself. You've got to pay your attorney. And in some instances, you've got to pay a lot of other miscellaneous things like an appraisal fee and maybe a loan origination fee. It depends on the type of mortgage you're getting. Is there any way to avoid paying closing costs? The answer is really no, but there's ways not to pay it in cash. Speak with your lender. Speak with me. I can introduce you to a lender if you don't have one, and we can help you figure that out. Then you go to get a mortgage. And my God, you're going to say, I've never understood that it takes this much paperwork in order to get a mortgage. It's really not that much paperwork. It's less than it was by 50% than it was 20 years ago. But the lending restrictions are in place to make sure that we never go through a financial crisis that we went through 7 or 8 years ago again. And as a result, you're going to be asked for things that they'll look back 3 years on your credit. They may even look back further. If you've missed payments during that, they're going to ask why that payment was missed. Who remembers why they missed a payment 2.5 years? But they're going to ask you, and they're going to tell you. You can say it just got mailed in 2 days late. But if you made a payment 3 months late, your credit score is not going to be very high to start with as a result of it. The longer ago you've made it late, the better off you're going to be. But the government has set new guidelines. We got to conform with them. The banks don't want to be in the real estate business. In other words, they don't want your house back if you don't make the payment. And they want to make sure you can make those payments. But there's some good news about the situation. The housing crash mandated banks are extremely strict on paperwork. That's eased up a little bit, especially for first-time buyers. And there's a reason, because the first-time buyer makes the second-time buyer happen. Who makes the third time? Usually when somebody becomes a first-time buyer, 4 or 5 houses get sold up the house chain. Friends and families who bought homes 10 or 20 years ago experienced a simpler mortgage application process, but also a higher rate of interest. I don't think there was less paperwork, because I've bought houses over the last 20 years. And you probably paid 7% instead of 4%. Bottom line, instead of concentrating on the additional paperwork required, and some of it's getting automated, so if your company is a substantially sized company and your financial institutions are mobilized, automated, we can get a lot of this electronically today. So even though there's paperwork, and even though they're going to ask you for the same thing multiple times, there are ways that your lender can get it in a more automated fashion than in the past. And it's not as complicated as it might first sound, but you got to get started. You can't get finished if you don't get started, and that's something I'm telling all my buyers and all my sellers. I've got sellers getting their house ready for market, and as a result, they have to do a lot of things, and as a result, it takes time, and as a result, sometimes they miss the market, and they got to wait next year. So I'm saying, You know, you can't wait till next week. You got to get started today. If you're ready to put your house on the market, we've got to get the carpeting changed. We've got to get the inside of the house painted. We've got to get the front steps fixed. Same thing goes with a buyer. If you're thinking about buying a house today, you got to get started. You cannot get finished if you don't get started. And what we need to do by getting started is getting your credit lined up, getting your assets lined up, getting you approved for everything so that when you make an offer, we can put a letter in place to say that you're qualified to make the offer. So why does working with a local real estate professional make all the difference? Well, first of all, as a buyer, it doesn't cost you a penny. 93% of all houses are bought through real estate agents. There's a certain thing called for sale by owner where the seller tries to save a little bit of money by putting the house on a market themselves. In effect, we can prove that they don't save any money. It probably costs them money and time. And then the buyer is not represented and the seller is not represented, although a lot of times they'll pay a real estate fee. I can help you out from the buy side. It becomes a very personal situation where the buyer and the sellers are talking to each other. And I know when I'm selling a house and somebody's buying it either through me or through another agency, I try not to let the buyers and sellers to meet each other till the closing because personalities get in the way. What do you mean when you said that? And can you believe he said this? Real estate agents are the glue that holds these two ends together. So I would tell you if you're tempted to go out and buy a for sale by owner, get to an agent like myself. I can go out and negotiate a fee and help you buy that house and at least be represented. The seller won't be represented, but you won't be talking to him. You'll be talking to me, and I'll be talking to the seller. Of the 2,000 millennials ages 18 to 34 today, we found that 75% of the respondents would use a local real estate agent over an online agent, and 71% would choose the local option. Surveys, and they give a whole bunch of testimonials. Once again, go to my site, go to guides, jpeters.com/guides. You can drop these down yourself, print out a buyer's guide and a seller's guide and go through what I'm going through with you. But the bottom line is, if you ever wondered what the tech-savvy generation would prefer to work with an online agent or lender, but more and more studies show that when it comes to real estate, millennials want someone they can trust, someone who knows the neighborhood that they want to move into, leading them through the entire experience. And my motto is I help people achieve their goals and dreams. And I can tell you, if you go to jpeters.com and you look at my references or testimonials, you're going to find that my customers say just that. They said he made it seamless. I never realized how complicated it was, and Joe was there all the way through the process in order to make the buying of the house seem seamless. So, ready to make an offer? I'm pretty far down the pike here, but four tips for success. Understand how much you can afford. You've done that with your lender, and you may not if you have two earnings and you're going to have children, or you knew somebody who got laid off and then lost their house. You may want to work on just one salary. But understand how much you can afford. In this market, because the houses are going almost the day they come on, you need to act fast. You are not going to look at a house, go home and think about it, and come back and say, let's come in 20% under. It just doesn't work that way. Yeah, there are a few houses out there that are overpriced, but the ones that are in great condition and priced right are selling within 2 to 3% on average of their asking price. So, being prepared, moving quickly, make a solid offer. I can help you run what we call comps or comparable sales. I'll look at the style house you're looking at, the square foot, the town, the how many bedrooms, how many baths, how many garage, how many acres, age, things like that. And I'll say, here's a six that have sold just like it in the last 6 months. Here's the average sale price. Here's what he's asking. We can see whether it's fair or not. Right now, because we are so short on inventory in the under 500K marketplace, it's not so much is can I get it for the price I want. The question is bigger than that. It's can I get the house? There are so many people diving for that same house that you may have to go above asking at times in order to get it. So you need to make a solid offer. You need to prepare to negotiate, and you negotiate several things at once. You negotiate the price. That's usually the first thing that is the comes to mind is how much is it and how much am I willing to pay. Then you need to negotiate the terms. Okay, I want the washer dryer included, or I want the pool removed from the backyard. I want to close in 60 days, or I need to close in 120 because I need to sell my house first. I'm going to tell you up front, if you have a house to sell before you can make an offer, you're not going to make an offer. No one's going to accept that kind of an offer in today's market. You've got to have your house under contract and inspected before somebody will seriously take their house off the market to sell it to you, because it could still fall through. It still might not appraise. The guy buying it could find a job. Something catastrophic could happen, like somebody gets sick. Things fall apart. It's almost like, how do I win? It's almost like I have to sort of set the hook on a fish just before he bites. I need to get somebody who's got their house already sold and is sitting in the street and now needs to buy a house. It doesn't happen that way. But you need to be pretty far down the stream with a sales cycle and before you can make an offer on a house. And by that I mean through inspection. Attorney review is done. The house has been inspected. You've agreed to the terms. All that's left is 3 weeks to go on getting the house appraised. That's about when a buyer can make an offer with a home sale contingency that will be considered. Before that, just not going to happen. Now, let's look at some statistics for Hunterdon County. We're sitting with 685 houses on the market as of the end of the month of February. It's almost the end of the month, March. So these are almost 3 weeks old. Of that, we sold 144, and we also listed another 200 that month. So we've got about a five-month supply. 4 to 6 months is where the market needs to be. That means the prices aren't going up or down. It's birds are flying, rainbows are out, sunny, things are going right. You get above 6 months supply, and we say if you've got 10 houses for sale and you sold five in the last 30 days, you've got a two-month supply. If you got 10 houses for sale and you sold one in the last 30 days, you got a 10-month supply. If you got a 4 to 6, you're in good shape. And then if you get above 6, there's probably pressure on pricing. And if you go below 4, there's probably multiple offers above asking. And we're seeing that every day of the week. And I can bring up the data as to where you're looking. Now, we not only need to look at the month's supply by price point, we need to look at it by price point in the town where you're looking. If you're looking in one of the more popular towns in the 2s, the 4s, you're probably dead in the water up front. But if we look really hard and we look at houses the day they come on, and you're not afraid of losing a few before we actually get a deal put together, we can find a house that you're looking for. So anyway, once again, my name is Joe Peters. I work for Coldwell Banker. I've been doing this for 20 years. I live in Clinton, New Jersey. Hunterdon County is my home, and I've probably sold somewhere between 200 and 300 houses over the last 20 years. I'd be happy to help you find one that's a match to your lifestyle and help you to understand the process of buying a house as we go through it. Got the heart of a teacher. You can go to my site, jpeters.com, and read some of my references. You can look at some of the things that I've published. I'm very involved in the county. I've graduated from the Leadership Hunterdon program. I'm a member of the chamber. And I am also doing the Somerset Leadership Program this year, and I'm a member of that chamber, a member of the Warren Chamber, a member of the Basking Ridge Chamber. I'm very involved in the areas that I work, and I can help you find a house that you want in a market where others don't even know how to start, because it takes some experience. It's not a trick. It's not that some people can do it and some people can't, although that's really the bottom line. It's that some people have more experience than others. And the 20 years that I bring to the table, I think, can be of an assistance to you. So let's do a quick recap. We need to get together and go through this one-on-one. We need to look at your existing job situation, and if there's a couple, both job situations. We need to look at your credit situation. And I don't do that with you. I take you to a mortgage person and they go through it. But you and I can have a high level talk and pretty much put together what they're going to find. But they're going to pull your credit and they're going to look at your assets. We need to find out how you're going to fund both the down payment and the closing costs. Sometimes it's through savings. Sometimes it's through borrowing against the 401k. Sometimes it's through mom and dad helping out. All three of those things work. And then we need to get you to a mortgage person, get it documented, and then we need to go out and look at some houses. And I would say the timeline, maybe a week or so to get what I just described done. Maybe anywhere is up to a year for you to find a house. It happens. I've seen a few people get lucky and buy a house in their first month, but usually it takes 2 or 3 months. You're going to make an offer or two that didn't work, so you get into the process. And I've seen it take as long as 1.25 years. I have some very discriminate buyers that have taken even longer than that because they were looking for something very specific. But in a first-time buyer program, I've got 2 people, one that took 1.25 years, and actually went to their wedding. I thought I was going to go to a christening. I'm not sure if they had any children as of yet, but it took a while. We lost 4 houses before we got one to stick to the wall. But when it stuck, it was the house they wanted in an area they wanted, which is a very hard-to-find area in Bridgewater. And they're quite happy. If you look at my references, you'll see they'll say Joe went through a long process with us and got us to where we want. Just today, we had lost out on an offer. We were second. We lost out to a better offer with better terms. I think specifically it was cash. We were 20% down, first-time buyer, and we were looking at a house in Bridgewater, which is, once again, a tough area. We lost out, and 3 weeks later, I got the phone call saying the other party has backed out of the deal. You were number 2. We told you we'd come back to you. So we were lined up. When I talked to that buyer, it was my telling him that he won the lottery. It was a real great feeling on my behalf to be able to call him up and say our strategy worked, we're number 2, they're going to accept our offer, the other one has fallen apart. So, once again, my name is Joe Peters. I'm going to play my intro one more time, and I will be back next week with my monthly report. Want to talk to me, 908-238-0118. Want to look at my site, jpeters.com, P-E-T-E-R-S, J for Joe, peters.com. And I would love to hear from you, and we can get into this together. Thank you.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. There's been an arrest in Washington State in connection with a string of suspicious packages sent to military installations near the nation's capital. The first package was received yesterday at the National Defense University at Fort McNair in Washington. One of the packages did contain explosive material, including black powder and a fuse, but it didn't explode. So far, there's no information as to the motive for the person who has been arrested. Packages were also reported at a number of other bases. No one was injured. Reports say Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has agreed to testify before Congress next month. Lawmakers want answers about user data that ended up in the hands of political consultant Cambridge Analytica. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root announcing the event of the year for conservatives, the Western Conservative Conference at the Phoenix Convention Center in Phoenix, Arizona. It's coming up fast on March 23rd and 24th. It'll be the premier gathering of conservatives and celebrity conservative speakers in the good old USA. Hundreds of attendees are expected at this star-studded event, and I'll be there speaking and leading panel discussions about the critical issues facing America. Conservatives like you will get the tools, training, education, and motivation to help you lead the battle and successfully impact the direction of America. Join me, Wayne Allyn Root, and my friends like former presidential candidate Herman Cain, U.S. Senate candidate Sheriff Joe Arpaio, TV and movie star Jack Scalia, James O'Keefe, Trevor Loudon, and many more conservative celebrities and conservative congressmen. Register.